welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you that the scripture this morning is not Hebrews Proverbs, it's Proverbs. I tell you, this person that's doing this bulletin now, I just don't know what to think of him. That'd be me. And PM service is not Proverbs, it's Proverbs. And we're not having the Lord's Supper today, we had that last week. But Harold thought I was going to make Harold look bad too. I was going to change him from stuff. He took his list away from him, you know, spread the mistakes and everything. But y'all understand. Thank y'all for understanding. But there are some announcements we need to go through. July the 10th, that's this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and conference. It'll be a covered dish, so bring a covered dish if you can. And I want to encourage you to, if you can, come on the first Wednesday or the Wednesday when we have our conference each month and fellowship with us with the meal. And we still have prayer time and we'll have a message and everything. But, you know, church business is for everyone, all church members. And to really understand what's going on, I would encourage you to come to conference. And they don't last long usually, but it gives you an insight of plans and things like that of what the church is planning to do. And we always would encourage everyone to have input in everything because we are a Southern Baptist church and we believe in that. July the 18th at 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association Men's Meeting at Midway Baptist Church. July 23rd at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Ministry Meeting. And we changed our Stand in the Gap Men's Meeting to July 25th here at the church at 7 p.m. We would like to encourage all the men, young men.
Fish fry, so they might like fish.
Oh, we don't. What kind of fish?
Red snapper.
Red snapper. See, that's important. Red snapper.
I'm going to bring a car for you.
That's okay.
No, I wouldn't.
As long as you don't. I don't know why I'm getting picked up. Oh, but I'm a victim this morning, y'all. I'm being victimized. All these mistakes in the bulletin, and now Harold making me a victim. I feel. I'm teasing. So yes, so we know the menu for the Standing in the Gap is Red Snapper. Thank you, Harold. That sounds great. Any other announcements? Oh, I thought Sissy was raising her hand, but she was pushing her hair back. Any birthdays?
We missed, had a lot going on last Sunday, and Miss Brittany.
Any other birthdays? Ms. Brittany was last week. Any other birthdays?
Well, let's sing happy birthday, Miss Brittany.
We'll open with prayer after we sing.
So I'll sing happy birthday, Miss Brittany. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
We want to, as we go into our prayer time, I'll continue to remember Amy and Tim as they go through the loss of Amy's father and work out the details and all on that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to the Lord for that we can stand here today, Lord, and gather together as family, Lord, as we have been talking about in Sunday school and Acts and all in the early church, Lord. And we just thank you for God's family that's here today, Lord, to come and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you for the time that we can fellowship and the time that we can visit and talk, Lord, and even laugh, Lord, and Lord, because that makes it just more relaxed, Lord. But we do come through a time, Lord, when we just want to offer up our prayers and all, Lord, and we do just want to for you to remember Amy and Tim. give them the rest and the strength, Lord, and the comfort that they need to get through this time, Lord. And for others, Lord, that may be suffering today, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual or whatever, Lord, we just lift them up to you also today, Lord. But Lord, we want to lift up this worship service to you today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as we stand here and we sing these songs of praise and these hymns, Lord, that we do it in a way, in a manner that brings glory on you, Lord. And as we, as Brother Tim stands before us today, Lord, and gives us your word today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that your word does not fall on deaf ears. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Well, if you can, please stand as we sing Majesty. Hymn 215, if you're looking in the hymn. Thank you. heaven in the garden.
Thank you. Good 4th of July, celebrate our independence as a nation. Sunday school this morning, I didn't read my Sunday school lesson until yesterday, so I'm just admitting, you know, normally I try to get it in Monday or Tuesday, and that way I can think over it through the week, but as you all know, Amy's dad passed away, and I thank you for your prayers. Means a lot to us, but as I thought about what in the world to preach on this morning, we started a new series last week in the book of Proverbs, looking at God's wisdom and how to have it in our lives. But then the Sunday school lesson, when I got to reading on it, I had already decided to preach on the wisdom of giving. And guess what Sunday school lesson was on? There was a right way to do it, and then there was a wrong way to do it. And that's where we're at this morning. I'm going to invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom, as we said last week, is the ability to live life skillfully. Another definition might would be to use knowledge in the best way. You can have a whole bunch of knowledge, but without understanding, you're never going to have wisdom. You really need all three of them. You need knowledge. You need to know what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. You need wisdom and how to use that knowledge. But you also have to be able to apply understanding with it. Many of us, probably in our younger years of adulthood or even teenage years, thought we knew everything. We thought we knew everybody's motives for everything. But the older we get, the wiser, hopefully, we're getting. And we look at situations in life that people are going through, and we understand those situations better. Why? Because we've walked through that valley, too. Years and years ago, as a pastor, there were times I went and sat with people who were having chemo treatment. But it didn't affect me until it was my son who was going through those chemo treatments. And sitting there with him for 10, 12 hours a day, looking like his life was draining from his body. Life can bring wisdom to us. Proverbs 4:7, we're going to look at 1 through 10 in just a moment. But Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Even Solomon would say, listen, it is important to have wisdom. That is the principal thing. But while you're getting wisdom, get understanding to go along with it. That way you can apply the knowledge in a way that is right. And when you apply the knowledge in a way that is right, you can do it with understanding. Not from a judgmental standpoint, but that we can look on the situation with compassion. Jesus looked at sinners, and he didn't condemn them straight up. The Bible always says, or the Gospels say, he had compassion on them. He was moved in his heart. He didn't just feel sorry for them. He did something about it for them. Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. Listen to what Solomon said. He said, my son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the freedom we have to come and to worship together. Lord, to be united, not just as citizens of the United States, but citizens of heaven. Lord, this home is, this earth is not our home. Lord, we are passing through. And Lord, we realize that, Lord, we have a part to play in it, Lord, because you have saved us by grace through faith. And Lord, help us to do our part. Lord, in your kingdom, in your work, Lord, help us all to have a part. Because honestly, Lord, if we're not serving you, we're missing out. We're missing out on your commands. We're missing out on blessing. So, Lord, I pray that you would just challenge us today through your word. Lord, in every part, every way, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we live in a culture today that tells us you can do anything you want to do. Right? There's nothing to hold you back, and if you call somebody out on something you believe is a sin, well, then they tell you, well, who gives you the right to judge? You know, you're not my master. Well, God has a way of doing things, and wisdom is doing life in a way that honors and pleases God. We live our lives, the things we do, the places we go, what we spend our money on or don't spend our money on, everything in life should have the attitude that we are going to be well-pleasing to God. When we think about today's society tells us to rely on no one but yourself and who else? The government, right? Rely on yourself and rely on the government. They tell you to take what you want, give to nobody, live for no one but yourself. The problem with all those things that we want to claim as the American way is every single one of them goes against God's teaching. Amen? All those things, if they are used in the proper attitude, the proper motivation, are totally against the will of God. God has given us his word so that we can have his wisdom. Well, we look at these verses and we realize that the first thing you and I need to do in Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, is we need to trust the Lord with half of our hearts. We need to trust the Lord with how much? How much is all? It's all of it, right? It's all of everything. But if we just stopped the service right now and we gave an invitation, how many of us would be honest with ourselves and say, I don't trust God with everything? I don't trust him with everything. It's like blueprints to a house. If God was to come to your house, could he come into every room in your house without you being embarrassed? We all got them, so don't go. You know, we all got them rooms that you want. You can go here, here, and here, but don't go in there. You might. We often want God to have part of us, part of our hearts, part of our lives, part of our finances, and we don't mind. Well, let me tell you this story before I forget about telling. I heard this little boy one day sitting in the back row with his daddy in church, and his daddy complained about every single thing that happened in the church, the singing, the music, the preaching, and everything else that was going on. And they gave the offering plate and it went by. Man pulled out a dollar bill that was in his an offering plate when it passed by, and the little boy on the way home to church said, "Daddy," he said, "you were complaining the whole time about the service." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, Daddy, why'd you only give a dollar?" He said, "Well, I just, you know, nothing's right, nothing's right." He said, "Well, you got to admit it's pretty good shape for only a dollar." You know, some of us act that way toward God. He has blessed us with everything we have, the ability to work, the ability to come and freedom to church and to worship Him, and He gives us all the things that we need and takes care of us. And sometimes when offering plate comes by, it's like, "Well, I'm giving the bare minimum. At least I can say that I gave." We need to trust the Lord with all that we are and all that we have. It's not just enough for me to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to follow you, but I'm only going to follow you where I want to go." Because we sing the song and invitations oftentimes, "Wherever He leads, I'm going up." But then when He says to go, what do we do? You see, it's one thing to give to God of our money, but are we giving Him our hearts? Are we giving Him our lives? Or are we trying to control and to possess? Because oftentimes, and this is something even I'm guilty of, I don't call people to make decisions to follow Christ near enough. I don't, and when I say that, I'm not necessarily talking about salvation. I try to always do that. But what is God calling you to do that you're trying to hold on to your life for? You're trying your very best to say, "God, you know, things are this way and things," because I can say that because I've been there. I have fought them fights with God saying, "Listen, you know, I can't go, I can't do. You know, I got a wife and three kids. I can't just pack up and move." But you know what? When God calls you to it, what's the rest of the quote? He'll see you through it. He'll provide what you need. But you have to trust Him. Trust the Lord with all of our heart. Not part of it, not half of it, not one-fourth of it, but all of it. Why is it important? Why is it important for us to be giving people? Can I tell you this? It's because God is a giving God. He is a giving God. You say, "Well, you know, last I checked, God didn't need my money." No, he doesn't. He owns it. He owns your money. And He can take your money from you. But oftentimes we're stingy when it comes to the things of God and giving back to God. And you say, "Well, what causes that?" Can I say this? It comes from the heart. Either you got a good heart towards God or you got a bad heart towards God. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring what? Issues of life." In other words, every area of your life, what you say, what you do, what you think, what you spend your money on, all starts where? In the heart. Are we loving God the way that we should? Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." And women, you can put your name there too. The heart is revealed by what we do, by what we say, by how we love, by who we love, by everything about us. How is our heart being displayed to the world? The heart, here again, in Scripture is basically this. It is the very center of us. It's not necessarily our beating heart. It's where we think, it's where we feel, it's our emotions, it's every part. It's in a very real sense, it's our soul that is being manifested through what we do and everything about us. So the heart is the center. And what starts in the center ends up being worked out into our lives. Here in these verses 1 through 10, Proverbs 3, Solomon uses that word heart three times. And all three times he uses the word all. All of it. All of your heart. Not half of it. Matter of fact, one of the greatest commandments is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you go into the New King James Version, every one of those, the word all is listed before what we are to love him with. We are to love him, but then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Solomon, here again, has used that word heart as a center of us. But then he uses the word trust. Now, do we truly trust God? Do we truly trust him? I don't know about you, and I've, you know, God has had to teach me a whole lot of lessons in life. It hadn't all been easy. Amen? Trust him. What does it mean to trust? What does it mean for us to trust God? When we trust God, are we saying, God, you can have part of me, but you can't have all of me? Are we saying, Lord, I'm going to give you this much, but I'm not going to give you any more? You see, it all comes down to trust. And I think Paul probably says it best in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. What does reasonable service mean? He says, laying your life down for Christ is bare minimum. That's not the high mark. That's not for the apostles in Jesus' time, right? That's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul. That's not talking about them. He says reasonable service. A reasonable service in the military of the United States is to enlist and be a regular GI. G.I. Joe, G.I. Jane. That is the low bar. That's where we are to come in, because if we don't trust God with our lives, how in the world are we ever going to trust him with our souls? You can't tell me you fully trust God if you're not letting go. You see, we hold on to the things. If you don't think, I'm not making fun of you, but we sit on the same pews every Sunday too. Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you don't think you're settled into your place, look where you sit every Sunday. I was talking to a preacher the other day and said, you know, he said, one day I'm going to take and I'm going to put the pulpit at the back of the church. That way everybody has to turn around and sit in a different place. I'm not going to do that to you. But here's the thing. We like comfort. We like things to stay the same, except for when it comes to buying a new car. Amen? We want the latest, greatest. But when it comes to our lives, we want things to stay the same. But can I tell you, things aren't staying the same. Things are constantly changing. But what we need to realize is that our trust in the Lord should be constant. It should be every day, every moment. Our trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Second thing we realize is that we need to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. Have you ever said something to somebody, or maybe you've said it, don't raise your hand. Well, I know what they said, but I'm going to do it my way. Come on, well, let's raise our hands this morning. I know what they say. I know what they said is the right thing to do, but I'm gonna do it my way. I think my way will work better. Is that trust in God? Because God, if you study the Bible, you'll find a passage or a precept or a promise of God that is always going to be right. But then there's the choice you have. You can choose your way or God's way, which is the wise way. The wise thing is to choose God's path, God's plan for our lives. Here again, wisdom is doing things God's way, not our own way. Third point this morning is simply this: honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of part of your income. It's not what Proverbs 3 says. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, the question comes down to is, you know, do we trust God every day? Do we trust God with every paycheck? Do we trust God with every increase? Do we trust God with everything He gives to us to give Him a portion in return? Why is that important? Can I tell you that if you study Scripture, you'll find out that you cannot worship God without a gift? You can't worship God without a gift. And you say, well, you know, what are you talking about? Well, number one, you got to give Him your heart. You can't fully worship Him unless you give Him your heart. You can't worship Him. Go back, study every time that the tabernacle, well, you go back even before the tabernacle in the Garden of Eden. Well, they got kicked out, right, for sin. Cain and Abel came along, and because of sin, when that time came, when they got old enough, what did they come bringing the Lord to worship Him? You had one brother that brought the right thing because that's what God told him to do. And then you had a brother that said, no, I'm going to do things my way. And God rejected his gift, right? They came worshiping God, but in order to worship Him, they had to bring Him something. First fruits. What is that? It's the biggest, the best. I hadn't planted a garden in a long time now, but used to. I love tomatoes, y'all. I love tomatoes. But you know, the first ones that get on the vine and they get just right. And you don't want the bugs to mess them up. You don't want the black rot to get on. So you go ahead and pick them and let them in the windowsill. And after a day or two, guess what? Man, them's the best tomatoes in the world. That's the biggest and the best. If you plant peas, which ones are the best? The ones that first come on the vine and first put out, or the ones at the end of the season is all stung up by the bugs? You see, it's the first, it's the best. That is what we bring back to the Lord. You say, well, how much is that? Well, the Bible says the beginning point is 10%. 10%. That's a tithe. You can go back searching, do it on Google search, whatever. A tithe, look what it says a tenth. A 10. That's bare minimum. I heard this quote years ago. It says, giving to God is in direct relation to your faith. You want me to say that again? Y'all are right there. Your giving to God is in direct proportion to your faith. What does that mean? That means that if I trust God, I'm going to give to Him. If I don't trust Him, guess what? I'm gonna hold out on. E.L. Moody said this. He said, a man has to have four conversions. The first conversion is of his mind. His mind has to change. His actions will change. His heart will change. And then his wallet has to change. Because when we trust the Lord and we realize we're not giving to him out of compulsory orders because somebody commands it. It is because we love him and we realize how much he has done for us and forgiven us. He's given us so many things in our families, our friends, our lives, all this stuff. And why would we not want to give back to them? If you love your spouse, your children, how do you show your love to them? You give, right? How many of you never give your kids anything or your spouse anything? You're going to be lonely, right? Don't be by yourself. No, I'm just kidding. The fourth point is simply this. Verse 10. The benefits of trusting God, of acknowledging God, of honoring God with all that we are and all that we have is for what? Well, verse 10 says, so your barns will be filled with how much? And your vats will overflow with wine. You see, we often have the picture of, well, you know, well, Brother Tim, I got $100 here. If I give 10%, that means I got to give God $10. If I give him $10, I'm not going to be able to spend what I need to spend. Well, the problem with that thinking is that you think you own that $100, but who actually owns it? God does, right? And if you say, well, okay, I've got $90 I can spend, I'm going to give and trust God this week, and I'm going to give him the $10. And you know what I have found out in my personal life is that when I give God what he deserves, can I say that? What he deserved, what he asked for, I have enough to do with the 90 more so than if I had the whole 100. But I'm going to tell you this, the opposite of that coin is true too. There has been times, and I'm just telling you because I'm trying to be honest, I want to try to be honest, but I'm just showing you a picture of me. My life lesson is that when I have held out on God, it has cost me more than what I would have given. If I'd have given it to him, maybe my tire hadn't gone flat. Maybe my battery in my truck wouldn't die. Amen? Come on. I'm just saying that's true in my life. End up taking the kid to the doctor, you know, out of the blue. Hadn't been sick 20 years, and all of a sudden, here they are, you know? And so I've learned that in my life to trust God. Trust God with it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. See, you're worried about stuff instead of just letting it go. Let God have his will and his way in your life. Trust him. We sing the song, trust me, try me, prove me, says the Lord. But do we live it? Do we believe it? Yeah, you really don't like this next part. I'm going to ask you, we'll return to the book of Malachi, you know, in just a moment. But in Malachi, we find a story of God judging the people because they did something they shouldn't have been doing. Now, at my last church back in, I think it was December of 2014, over the Christmas holiday weekend between Christmas and New Year's, somebody broke into the church over there, stole a bunch of the sound system, and rocking chair from the nursery. Why they need a rocking chair, I don't know. But they stole a bunch of stuff from the church, and you know, we didn't really realize it until the following Saturday. We went down and had a day where we cleaned up or something, and went in and found one of the doors was kicked open, and went and busted out, and all this stuff missing, and you kind of felt violated, right? And my thought was, how many of us like somebody to steal from us? Anybody like somebody to steal from us? Does anybody like a thief? Good. Because this verse is really going to help us out. In Malachi, we find in chapter 3, verse 6. We have 6 on there, and 8. Okay, we'll just go with 8. This is what God asked him. Now, this is a rhetorical question. Will a man rob God? And what does God say? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. If you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, we're not going to do that. Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, you find the 8th commandment is, thou shalt not, what? Steal. But if God tells us that, hey, I'm giving you this, your response is to give me back. And if you don't give back to me, then you are robbing. You're stealing from, now we all said we didn't like a thief, right? We don't like anybody to steal from us. But can it be said that we're stealing from God in our lives? God has blessed us so much, we can all say that God has blessed us so much. And yet, how do we treat him in return? You see, the nation of Israel turned from God. They did everything they weren't supposed to do. And they expected God's blessings to continue on their lives and in their families and in their nation. And yet God was saying, listen, how can you, I'm paraphrasing this passage of Malachi. How can you expect me to bless you when you won't even do the bare minimum of what I've asked you? You see, God gives us a prescription here in this passage. He says to trust him with all of our hearts and always to acknowledge him in everything we are, everything we have. But then as we look on down, we realize that God tells us here in Malachi that, listen, you can try to rob from me, but you are cursed with a curse. Now, I was also at a church in Alabama one time when a woman said this, you know, preacher, you're preaching all this blessings and cursings, and that ain't biblical. And I'm thinking, you better read your Bible. You better read your Bible. She also liked this guy that had really pretty teeth and black wavy hair. I won't say his name. But anyhow, she really got under my skin, you know, because I'm like, you know, blessings and curses is in the Bible. And I'm not talking about no voodoo curse, okay? But here's my quick Tim theology on God's curse on us. All God has to do to curse you is take his hand of protection off you. That's all he's got to do. You look at Saul. I won't get into that. That might be a question and answer for a question on his night sometime. Here's the thing. You are cursed with a curse. In other words, when you think you've got that $100, God's going to let things come in to eat away, to devour, right? Yeah. But he said, listen, if you'll trust me and trap me in this, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. I'm going to kick him out of your life. I'm going to kick him to the curb. And you're going to be able to do more with that 90% than if you had 110%. Just try me in this. Trust me. But oftentimes we do just the opposite. Well, I can't afford to tie Brother Tim on a fixed income. Can I tell you, probably everybody in this room is on a fixed income? Amen? Mm-hmm. Can y'all write your own check and it be good? I know you can write one, but will it be good? We're all on a fixed income. So if we're going to base it on that, then nobody would be given. Can I share this with you? It is a blessing to give. The Bible tells us it is more blessed to give than to receive. But we're also, when we give, we're not supposed to do it and say, well, here, I got to put this $10 in an offering plate this week. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. You see, it's the attitude, it's that I don't have to give. I get to give. I get to give back to God because he has blessed me so much. He has allowed me to be here. He's allowed me to live in this community. He's allowed me to live in the state of Georgia because he could have cursed me and made me live in California, right? He has blessed us with everything we have, our families, our friends, our church family. He has allowed us to be here in this moment, in this time, because he has a plan and purpose for us. But he also has a plan and purpose to use us, that through us, others may come to know him. Amen? Because if that's not the purpose of the church, then we need to quit holding church. Our mission as a church is to reach out to the lost, to reach out to those who are perishing and dying. That is the mission of the church. Can I ask you this one question as we wrap up? Is there anything in life you can do that does not cost you? Maybe one thing. Maybe loving God. But if you love God, it's going to cost you too. It's going to cost you your will, your way. And it's going to cost you because he's going to change it to where you're not losing anything. You're actually gaining. You're gaining him. You're gaining his blessings in your life. We just have to learn to trust him. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You see, man's wisdom says to do it yourself. You can handle it on your own. God says, acknowledge me and I'll show you the right path. Man's wisdom says to trust no one but yourself. God says, trust me, try me. Man's wisdom says, store it up here on earth, build bigger and better. What does God's word tell us? To lay up our treasures where? In heaven. Man's wisdom says keep it all, spend it all. God says give back, help others, bring it to the storehouse. Man's wisdom says honor yourself. You deserve it. You work for it. Do whatever brings praise to you. But God's will says honor me with all that you have and all that you are, and give back what I have commanded. And I'll bless you so much you cannot hold it all. you know, in that passage where it says that God will open up the windows of heaven, there's only two times that phrase is mentioned in all of Scripture. You know when they were? One was there in Malachi, and the other was when God destroyed the earth in the flood. The earth couldn't hold all the water that he poured out on it. And if you don't think the analogy is there and it is real, that's what God wants us. He doesn't want us having bare minimum. He wants us to have it all. He wants to give us everything he has for us. But sometimes the very things we don't have is because we won't give back to God. So you sound like a name it, claim it preacher. I'm not. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. You cannot steal from God and expect blessings in your life. What are we holding out? What are we holding back from God this morning? Are we holding back our trust? Are we holding back our faith? Are we holding back our tithes? Are we holding back our lives, so to speak? Are we failing to surrender? We say we surrender all, but are we truly surrendering it all? Have we laid our hearts and minds and lives down on the altar for God to use us? Has God been calling you to go do something or to serve him in a particular way and you're not doing it? Maybe today you just need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to try you. I'm going to prove you. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I know that we focus a lot on giving. Lord, the greatest thing we can give to you this morning is our very lives. Lord, if we haven't given you our hearts and our lives, then Lord, I pray that would be the greatest decision we can make today. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who has never trusted you, then today would be the day that they would give you their hearts, their minds, their lives. Lord, for others of us, we just haven't came to the place where we trust you as we should. We are not acknowledging you in all of our ways. Lord, we need to get that straightened out this morning. Lord, we all grow in faith at different rates. We understand that. Lord, you understand that. But Lord, you have called all of us to be obedient. And Lord, you have given us the best plan. You have given us wisdom, Lord, that we can apply to our lives. So Lord, I pray that if there's a decision, whether it's with our lives, whether it's with our finances, whether it's with our marriages, our families, our workplace, Lord, whatever it may be in, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to you. Lord, if you called someone to serve you today, then I pray, Lord, if they've been holding on, that, Lord, they would just surrender all to you. Lord, have your way as only you can. I ask it in Jesus' name.